You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. It is Thursday, February 22nd, and yes, NBA basketball is back. Most importantly, Kings basketball is back. Full slate of games tonight. The most important for Kings fans is Kings versus OKC, happening at G1C. We will get into that in just a little bit. What we've done the last couple days during the All-Star break, which I am pretty ecstatic that it's over. It's necessary. Players need it. But I'm good with it, man. Let's get the hoop started. I am over the three-point contest and the skills competitions and stuff. Let's play some hoops. But before we get into that, last couple days I've been doing just kind of a review of the roster at this two-thirds mark of the season. I know people call it the halfway point because of the All-Star game, but it's definitely, look, there's 24 or 25 games left, so it's definitely way more than halfway. But here we go. So we did Z-Bo, Garrett Temple, Costa, Scal, Bogey, Fox, Heald, and Willie Cauley-Stein. That leaves us a good handful of players left. These guys are rookies, two-way players, guys that were just acquired through trades, guys that have been injured, all the above. So let's get right into it. I'm going to start with Justin Jackson, who has had an up-and-down season so far. One thing you'll notice with all the rookies that we've been going over is, besides De'Aaron Fox, really, inconsistent playing time, and which leads to inconsistent play. Bogey's been getting more consistent playing time. He's been starting a lot recently. I would imagine that's going to continue for the rest of the year, and then probably next year, and probably, you know, the next couple of years, because he's been the best out of all the young players. But we're not talking about Bogey. We're talking about Justin Jackson. He's a guy who I've made the comparison, and maybe it's just because they're both out of UNC, but Harrison Barnes. He reminds me of Harrison Barnes, and I know some people might roll their eyes at that, but Harrison Barnes is a solid NBA player. He's a legitimate contributor, a player that can play on pretty much any team. He's versatile, can play the three or the four, and that's something that I'm also interested in seeing, hopefully before this year ends, is some mixed-up lineups a little bit, less of the two bigs on the floor at all times. I know you guys have heard me say it, you know, endlessly, but less two bigs, more small ball. I'd like to see some small ball with Justin Jackson at the four, where I think he could use some of his quickness, some of his ability, some of his shooting to his advantage. The three-point numbers aren't great for him so far this year. He's only at 30%, but that's still, as a four, that's passable. It's still not great, but it's something he can do, something he can use. He will play tonight. He is in. There has been some injury news coming out that we'll get to in a little bit about tonight's game, but Justin Jackson is in. And I would imagine he'll start most likely. He's been getting starts recently, which is good for him. He needs the minutes. He needs the experience. So I look forward to watching him play more. And watching him go up against Paul George, that's going to be tough. It's a tough matchup. But, you know, sometimes you rise to the occasion, or sometimes, you know, players play down to the occasion. Like Paul George might play down to Justin Jackson's level. Who knows? But he's an intriguing prospect. He's had, I wouldn't say the roughest rookie year, but it's been up and down. But to see him get starts and get minutes is a positive sign. So moving on to another rookie, Frank Mason. He is probable for tonight, which is a good sign considering he's been out for a while now. So getting him back is going to help the Kings and also just help Frank with his progression and becoming an NBA player. He's played well in his minutes. He's a definite energy player. He played, 3-4 years in college, so he's more seasoned, more ready, and that's something that we brought up with De'Aaron Fox recently is he's 19. And guys like Bogey, who's having a good year, Frank Mason, who's looked better than him at times, they have more experience, just basketball experience, period, whether it's NBA or college. So he has looked good. The guy's fearless for a, you know, under 6-footer. He gets after it. His three-point shooting has been somewhat surprising to me. He's shooting just under 42%. He doesn't take a ton of them, but when he does shoot, he can knock them down. And that's another weapon that you're going to need in today's NBA. And that's something that's intriguing about all these young Kings, or most of them, because, yeah, Justin Jackson struggled a little bit. And same with De'Aaron. But De'Aaron Fox has come on recently. He's had some games going 4-6 from three. We know Bogey can light it up. We know Buddy can light it up. So seeing Frank Mason be able to shoot just around 42% from three is a pretty big deal. It's good to get him back. They definitely need him. I love seeing him come off the bench. He's a great energy guy off the bench. That tandem of him and Buddy coming off the bench is huge. Could be a tandem moving forward that, you know, I wouldn't say would strike fear, but it's better to have them than to not have them. So it's good that he's coming back. He's been out for a while. He's probable tonight, which means he'll most likely play. If not, then I would imagine in the next game for sure, which is Saturday, I believe. So that's the good news for the injury update. There is an injury update coming a little later that we will talk about. I keep teasing it. We'll get to it, I promise. I swear. So moving on from Frank, here's a guy that is, I would say a fan favorite, and that's Jakar Sampson. Everyone loves Jakar. He comes in, he's similar to Frank in the fact that he's an energy player, but he comes in and he plays hard. You know what you're going to get from him. A bunch of energy. Another guy that's fearless. I know people, the internet goes crazy anytime someone gets dunked on when Zach LaVine put one on him. I don't care. I would so much rather have a guy that will go up and try and block a shot and play defense than a guy that's going to sidestep a dunk just because, oh, I don't want to be a meme. Who cares? So I love it. I think Jakar is a great player to have. He's another guy that can play the three, the four, or another lineup I'd like to see him playing the five in some small ball situations. He's a guy I've mentioned with Scal that I would like to see get some run there because he can stretch the floor. I know the shooting sample is rather small. I think he's, you know, 4 of 6 or something from three. But he still hit those four. You know, it's there. The ability's there. So he's a guy that I like, and I'm glad that they made the moves that they did at the trade deadline to find a roster spot for him. I think he's still on his two-way deal, but I think once his 45 days with the Kings run out, they'll give him a permanent roster spot. And I don't see why he wouldn't be a guy moving forward that you would keep, why you wouldn't have him as part of the team at least next year. I know people listen to this and say, well, he's not a game changer. He's just this and that, and you guys talk him up too much. I've never said he's an all-star. He's a role player, and you need role players on NBA teams. It's not just superstars. You need guys like Jakar Sampson and Frank Mason and other role players. So why not keep him around? I think he could be part of this team moving forward. He's a guy that I like. I like his ability. I like his energy. The name Draymond Green comes up a lot when you think of a guy that can kind of do everything. He's good at everything, great at nothing. But, you know, the only difference is Draymond is a great defender. But Jakar Sampson is that type of all-around player. And, again, the kind of role player that you need on your team. And I don't see why you wouldn't keep him around. I like him. I like what I've seen so far. He's going to continue to get minutes, I'm sure. And I'm excited to see what else he can bring. Next player we'll talk about, we'll go with another two-way player, and that's the coolest guy in the room, Jack Cooley. Yeah, I did it. No, my man Jack Cooley, I remember him, I think we all do, from Summer League. He tore up Summer League, was a man amongst boys in Summer League, and he's done fine. He's, you know, he's gotten a couple minutes in the NBA this season. He's a guy who, like I said, his summer league performance got him this two-way contract. He deserved it. I don't know how much we'll see of him moving forward. The thing in summer league is he was a crazy rebounder, would rebound everything. He hasn't gotten an opportunity in the NBA to see if that'll transfer, but there's still room for a guy like Jack Cooley, for a body like Jack Cooley's in the NBA. It's not going to be a guy that will get 30 minutes a game, but there's still room. There's still a place for him, whether that's with the Kings, whether that's somewhere else, whether that's the 15th man on the bench, who knows. But bottom line, I've liked what I've seen at times from him. I know he hasn't gotten NBA minutes, so it's hard to really, really talk him up. But he's done fine. When he's gotten his opportunities, he's done fine. So Jack Cooley. Bruno Caboclo, we'll talk about a little bit. I know we haven't seen him play. He was part of he was the Malachi Richardson trade. They moved Malachi for Bruno. He's a guy who's 6'9", it's been reported anywhere from 7'5" to 8-foot long wingspan. Either way, let's say it's 7'5". That's huge. That's crazy long wingspan for a guy that's 6'9". And that's kind of why he was drafted. That's why he's been still attached to rosters like he was with Toronto, like he is with the Kings right now. So that's a project, and we'll see. But a guy with that size and that wingspan that can play the three, and then with that size, you can imagine play some four as well. That's intriguing. So you're gonna take your time and see what you got with a guy like that. I don't know if we'll see him on the roster this year. I kind of hope so, because he is intriguing. That size is amazing. That kind of wingspan, you know, can maybe play the five. That's part of why Draymond Green gets to play the five, because he has a 7'4" wingspan on a 6'7" body. It allows him to play bigger than he is. So Bruno, the upside is there, and that's what you're looking for. Whether that potential's ever reached, we'll see. But would love to see him get some minutes in the NBA this year. As this season winds down. And then last but not least, Amon Shumpert. He was the main, the only piece they kept from the George Hill deal. They got Amon Shumpert, and Joe Johnson ended up waiving Joe Johnson. So Amon Shumpert on the roster, still injured. It's going to be interesting to see if he even gets any minutes this year, because not that he's a game changer that will win games for you. He could win a couple games, and that... I don't know. I don't know if you really want that if you're the Kings. Do you want to bring on Amon Shumpert and win games when your goal is probably more to develop young guys and maybe get the best draft pick that you can? So we'll see. But I do like the addition of him just because he's a defensive player. That's what he does. He plays defense, and on the worst defensive team in the league, it doesn't hurt to have better defenders. You know, it's that simple. Even though he is bringing a $10 million cap hit next year, which he's definitely going to opt into because he's not going to make $10 million anywhere else, he's going to be part of the Kings next year. So we'll see whether he gets any minutes this year. It'd be interesting if he does to see how he fits in with this team. But I would imagine that we won't see him until next season. But again, what do I know? He may be fine and play on Saturday. But he's not playing tonight. But interested to see what he can bring, especially defensively, for this Kings team. They are playing the OKC Thunder tonight. We'll get into that in just a second. So that was the end of the player reviews. We got through everyone. We got through the new guys. We got through the two-way players. We got through everything. So tonight, OKC Thunder. Sacramento Kings at the G1C, the big-time showdown. It feels big just because basketball's back, just because we're all juiced to see some basketball. I think we all kind of feel one way about this game. It's a tough first game back against OKC. I think we're all favoring OKC in this situation. But first games back are tough. Who knows how prepared or ready. You know, coming back from a break, it's just tough to tell how well a team can play. Maybe the Kings play up to their level. Maybe the Thunder play down to the Kings' level. Who knows? But it's going to be an interesting one, and I've been teasing the injury news. De'Aaron Fox is out tonight with conjunctivitis, so hopefully that's something that can clear up over the next couple days. but we will not be seeing De'Aaron Fox tonight. So with Frank Mason probable, do you start him in his first game back? I'm not sure if that's the best idea, but maybe. As we know, I just mentioned Shump is not going to be playing, so you're down some guards. Probably Garrett Temple, I would think. Garrett Temple and Bogdan will be starting, but who knows? You're definitely going to see some Frank Mason tonight. I would imagine he's probable, so it's not 100% that he goes, but if I had to bet on it, Frank Mason will be playing tonight and will be getting good minutes because De'Aaron Fox is out. So that's one thing to look for. Buddy Hield, as we've talked about a lot, his minutes, why are they so low? Can he get more minutes tonight with De'Aaron Fox being out? I would imagine so, but we'll see. Bogey and Russ going head-to-head is a matchup I'm interested in, and then I want to look at the centers going up against Steven Adams as well. Can Kosta Koufos and Willie Cauley-Stein match up with Steven Adams, especially Willie, because can Willie run him off the floor? Willie's got the speed and ability to run the floor, to especially against a guy like Steven Adams, who he's not super lead-footed, but he's not the most fleet of foot either. So can Willie Cauley-Stein run him around? We will see. I will have a OKC Sacramento Kings game recap for you tomorrow morning. Thank you so much for listening to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles D. Hamilton. Come on back tomorrow. Peace.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.